Yes. So have you been overseas any? Like maybe China? I don't know. But anyways, there was no way to know that. But when I got back, sure enough, the test came to Alabama and I tested positive right after the meeting. So yes, I'm sorry if anybody got that for me. I apologize. And I feel like I needed to. No, I'm joking. But anyways, that was a very interesting time of our lives. And I think our kids are all going to have stories to tell their kids one day from that. But it was good to be with you then. One thing I remember from that week is the great and amazing hospitality and your kindness. And I say that because this is the very first gospel meeting I have held since Mallory's cancer diagnosis. I canceled everything. I preached once a week at Eastside in Bowling Green. My elders said, don't worry about teaching classes. You just focus on your family. If you want to preach once a week, you can. But they said, just take care of them. And so that's what I did. Everything extra just went aside, and I just focused on my family and focused on Mallory. And let me just say, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this week, but I am so grateful to you because there was not a week that went by where somebody at Timberland Drive did not send us a card. And you have to understand that we have a lot of thank yous to offer to people. But the words thank you, the words thankfulness, the word gratefulness are just not strong enough words to describe my gratitude. And so I want you to know that I am grateful to you for your prayers. I'm grateful to you for your notes of encouragement, especially to Mallory. One of these days she's going to get to come with me, and you're going to get to meet her, and you're going to get to see how great she is. And you're going to love that. And so I could talk her up all day long. But I hope that happens soon. I really do. But from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for your encouragement throughout that rough, tough year. It was definitely a challenging year for us and for our family. And we're grateful to you for who you are and for your kindness to us and for considering us as you approach the throne of God. And I am so grateful for that. So thank you so much. So enough said about that, or else I'm going to be in tears and y'all are going to be in tears and we're going to be just a big mess. But thank you for who you are. It's good to be with you this week. Let's look at Mark chapter 5 and let's get into our topic this morning. The Bible there says, they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me. For he had been saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he was asking him, what is your name? And he said to him, my name is Legion, for we are many. As Jesus was on the earth, and as he was teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, the Bible tells us that he was healing every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. And I don't know about you, but that's amazing for me to think about. Because we live in a day and a time where we are still searching for cures, cures for Alzheimer's disease and for dementia, cures for things like Parkinson's disease or ALS, or cures for cancer. But that was not the case at all with Jesus. He could heal them all. He was healing every type of sickness, every type of disease. Jesus never had to go to someone in the waiting room and say, well, I am so sorry. I've done everything that I can possibly do. Or your condition is treatable, it's just not curable. Or I've done my very best, all we can do is make them comfortable. He never had to go to a family in the waiting room and deliver that bad news. He was healing every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. If somebody was blind, Jesus could make it where they could see. If somebody was mute or deaf, Jesus could make it where they could talk and hear. If somebody was lame, Jesus would make them walk. If somebody was dead, he could raise them from the dead. Jesus was, he still is, the great physician. And he could also help those who were demon-possessed. Now, the New Testament uses different terms and phrases that might describe this particular condition. They were called demoniacs, or a man with an evil spirit in one place, or a girl with a spirit of divination, or a man possessed with an unclean devil. It kind of makes you wonder what a clean devil would look like. But he was possessed with an unclean devil. Mary Magdalene became a disciple of Jesus, and before Jesus came to heal her, the Bible tells us that she had seven demons, but even that did not compare to what Jesus encountered with this man who was called Legion. And the text tells us that he was called that because he was possessed by many demons. And sometimes, I'll be the first to admit this, that we are a little confused by that. We don't read a lot about demon possession before the time of Jesus or even after the time of Jesus. It does seem to have been something that was restricted to the time when Jesus was on the earth and to the time of the apostles' ministry right after the resurrection. And I don't know that we have all of the answers to what was going on with that, but it does seem as if Satan was trying to imitate what God was doing when he sent out those to teach and proclaim the gospel. It was kind of similar to what the magicians tried to do when Moses was confronting Pharaoh. Just like when God would send out his prophets, the devil would send out false prophets and false teachers. And so now, what you have is God who has sent his son to dwell among us, and Satan has sent his demons to possess and to torture certain individuals. And whenever we read this story, I think a lot of times we tend to focus on the demon possession, or we focus on the pigs that come after the demon possession a little bit later in the story, and we take our focus completely off of where it should be. We take our focus off of Jesus. So please, this morning, don't see this story as just another story about demon possession and a story about pigs jumping off of a cliff. This morning, I want you to look at what Jesus did for this man by the name of Legion. And I want you to see that Jesus truly did have power over the possessed. And Jesus was able to heal him. But why? Well, first of all, I want to suggest to you that Jesus had compassion for Legion. Let me ask you this. When we first read this story, what was the very first emotion that you had as you looked at this story with me this morning? Maybe it was, wow, that guy is a nut. That guy is a crazy lunatic. He is a freak show. He is weird. Or maybe you thought, you know, I really hope we don't have somebody here that comes in our doors this morning and who is like this guy. I'm not worried about that. Y'all have more law enforcement in this church than any church in the country. So this may be the first time I haven't carried. You know, I mean, I don't need to here, right? You're going to take care of me, right? You're going to, okay, yeah, okay. Scared me a little bit there. But I want you to think about this for just a moment. The emotions that people would have had when they see this guy, they did not want this particular individual coming up to them. In 2002, Bob Buchanan took me to the Philippine Islands with him. It was my very first time out of the country. And so we went to the Philippines to preach. And we made our way from the island of Luzon, which is the main island where Manila is, to the island of Mindoro. It's a beautiful island. And Brother Eliseo Sacot preached there for years. He's just recently passed away. But he had preached there for years. He was there. And I remember when it came my time to preach, there was a man who walked in the middle of my sermon from the back of the room where we were at, walked all the way to the front, and he sat down in the front row, and then he literally started shaking violently, and he started making all sorts of noises. Well, you know, Alabama boy from Alabama, of course that made a lot of sense, a boy from Alabama is in a foreign country, in a foreign land, right after September 11th, guys sitting there doing that, and I'm thinking, man, we're about to go, all right? This is going to happen. And so I just stop what I'm doing. I'm like looking at him. Everybody else is looking at him. And Brother Bob Buchanan looked at me and he said, "Hey, Wiley, don't worry. He's not demon possessed. He's not filled with the spirit. He's filled with the spirit." He was drunk. And so apparently they were used to this guy and they were kind of taken back by my reaction to this guy because this was such a weird experience. But I'll never forget how unsettling that was. I did not want that guy coming forward in the invitation song. I mean, I should have wanted him to, but I didn't want him to because it was just a weird situation. I want you to understand, Legion was a man who had his dwelling place among the tombs. Look at verse 3 again. It says there that he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. Think about that for just a second. He did not have a house. He did not live in a village or in the city with neighbors and with other people around him. He had to live outside of the city in a graveyard. In other words, the only people who could deal with this man were already dead. And it was in those tombs, and it was in those mountains where people heard this man day and night screaming. And he was crying out. And we don't know if he was saying words or if he was just crying out in pain. But the people knew who this man was because they heard him day and night. He was very, very loud. And at the end of verse 5, notice this, Mark tells us that he was gashing himself with stones. At one congregation I was working with, a young lady came to me and admitted to me that she had a problem with cutting. She was a cutter. And if you don't know anything about that, here's what happens there. She would intentionally cut her arms or her legs because she had emotional pain and emotional trauma. And she didn't know how to process that pain in a healthy way. And so she would cut herself in order to try to distract her from the things that she was feeling emotionally. As she was telling me that, I thought to myself, why would anybody ever do this? We don't know if the demons caused this man to do that. We don't know if it was something else. But in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8, we read where Legion was naked. And you have to know that that only exposed the scars that he had from cutting and gashing himself. And yet this man, Legion, who has been cutting himself and gashing himself and who's been so hard to deal with for all of the other people, he comes running to Jesus. And the most amazing thing about that is that Jesus did not run the other way, because that's exactly what I would have done. Legion ran up to Jesus, and the man who could heal every kind of sickness, the man who could heal every kind of disease, he did not run away. Instead, he chose to show Legion a little compassion. He was the same man who was not afraid of the leper when the leper touched him and healed him of leprosy. And just like that, Jesus had compassion for this lunatic that was called Legion. This is an amazing story. Because there are going to be people in our lives that we encounter who have a lot, and I mean a lot, of problems. And these are going to be problems that we just do not understand. See, the people that encountered Legion on a daily basis, they just didn't understand. And in all reality, the same exact thing happens to us day in and day out. Let me illustrate that for you. Have you filled out a survey lately? Your kids have if they've gone to college, and they've seen this. But under the section of gender or sex, the question is asked, what gender or what sex do you most closely identify with? And then there's at least four or five options. There's male, there's female, there's transgender, and there's all these other options that are there. Even with Donald Trump as our president, and even though he's getting rid of DEI and all of those things, that is still there on surveys today, especially when kids go to college. That's perplexing to us, isn't it? It baffles us. Sometimes we wonder, are we in the twilight zone? And are we hearing that music in the back of our heads as we're filling these things out, as we're dealing with situations day in and day out? These are things that we just do not understand. But there are people, ladies and gentlemen, who struggle with these things. And you know what they need from us? They need compassion. They need Jesus. They need the gospel. Let me ask you this. How are they going to obey the gospel? And how are they going to receive the gospel if we don't first have compassion for them? Back when we were in Florence, Alabama, we were at a college Bible study that we had on campus up until COVID every Thursday night. And that study eventually made its way to our house after COVID. But we had a boy that would come through and walk through our class. And that boy was dressed as a girl. And he would sit close by. And he would listen to what we were doing and to what we were saying. And of course, can you imagine the looks that everybody had on their faces as that would happen? One of the girls finally got the courage to go up to him and say, "Would you like to join us for this Bible study?" And I have to tell you, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we got a lot of stares and a lot of people looked at us because there was this boy dressed up like a girl who was sitting in the midst of Christian college students with a Bible open studying. He had compassion for this confused boy. Listen, demon possession may not be a thing today, but there are people today who have had demons in their past. There are people with drug problems and people with alcohol problems and with sex addictions and with pornography addictions, those who have been abused, and the list goes on and on. And sometimes these are the very people who cry out for attention, just like Legion, who behave in the most unimaginable ways, and they act in ways that can completely and utterly frustrate us. What do they need? They need compassion. There are people who have children who have absolutely no self-awareness. Have you ever noticed that before? And no idea as to what they are doing with them. And instead of a critical eye and instead of harsh judgment, what do they need? They need compassion. They need for somebody to show them the way of God, to show them how to be godly parents. There are people who have had abortions. There are people who have struggled with homosexuality. And there are people who try to fuel hatred. What do they need from us? Compassion. Back in Florence when we were there, there was this coffee shop that I would go to, and I don't drink coffee, but I'd go to this coffee shop, and I would get an acai bowl. I don't know if you've had those before, but they're amazing. This place is called Turbo Coffee. I loved this place. I would go there 3 or 4 times a week, and there were 3 college girls on one occasion sitting right beside me talking to each other, and the craziest thing happened. They had all just got done working out, and they were all in there. They were dressed immodestly. I mean, they were showing their bellies, and, you know, and they had really short shorts on and athletic wear that is a lot of it is just completely immodest today. And they had all of that on, and they were actually sitting there with their Bibles open, and what were they talking about? I'm not making this up. They were talking about the subject of modest dress. And the whole time I'm sitting there and I'm wondering, where in the world are the fathers of these girls? And why are their fathers not saying something about how they're dressed now? Do they not get it? No. They don't. And what I should have done is I should have said, hey, why don't y'all come and join me and my wife, and why don't we study all of this together sometime? That's what I should have done. How are people ever going to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ and that Jesus has a better way for their lives if we don't first show compassion? Jesus showed compassion for this man. And that was his first response. He wanted to heal Legion. And he did. But number two, I also want you to see that Jesus had the power to heal Legion. Look at verse 6 through verse 13 with me. Let's just read some of this again. To seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And we began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding thereby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus' power and authority are on full display in this story. This was a man who no one else had been able to stop. No one had been able to bind him. No one had been able to control him. They had tried, but they had been completely unsuccessful. They had even put chains on him, but he would just break through those chains. And so can you imagine this moment? And can you imagine how strong this man was? He could just break chains. They put shackles on him. And according to Luke's account in Luke chapter 8, he had become extremely violent. And so they put these shackles on him, and what did he do? He broke them into pieces. And this man was named Legion, or called Legion. Why? Because we are many. Historically speaking, a Roman legion would have been somewhere around 6,000 soldiers. And we don't know if this means that he literally had 6,000 demons or not, but there were 2,000 pigs. There were 2,000 swine that Jesus put legions, demons into. So think about that. When he said, "We are many," he was talking about how powerful he was. But what did he do when he found himself in the presence of Jesus? This man who nobody could restrain, nobody could control or bind him, this man who was feared by everybody, what did he do when he was at, or when he saw Jesus? Look at verse 6 again. Notice what it says. As seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. He bowed down before Jesus, and he worshiped him. Now think about that. He called him, and he confessed that he was Son of the Most High God. You know, sometimes we talk about faith and works, and we go to James chapter 2 with our friends, and as we're talking to our Calvinist friends, especially about James 2, we go to verse 19, and we read where even the demons shudder, or even the demons believe in God. And that belief causes them to tremble. That belief causes them to shudder. You see, this man bowed down before Jesus in complete and in full recognition of who he was, and he begged Jesus not to send him out of the country. Look at verse 10 again. And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. What did Legion recognize? I want to suggest to you that he recognized something that we often lose sight of. He recognized the power of Jesus. We often talk about the power of Satan. We often talk about Satan's authority. We talk about the idea that he is described in Scripture as the God or even the prince of this world. But I want you to notice that with these demons, Jesus had to give them permission to enter the swine. In other words, he who has all authority is still in subjection to God's authority because God rules over all. And Jesus was Son of the Most High God. And even these demons recognized that. I think there's a point here for us that we need to consider. Whenever you feel like the devil is just too strong, his temptations are too powerful, and that you will never be able to defeat him, whenever you feel like he controls you and you can never break his chains or tear his shackles into pieces, please remember this. Remember the power of Jesus. Don't forget Jesus' power. God is faithful. In other words, he wants you to succeed. Listen to me. God does not want you to fail. We need to understand that. God wants us to succeed in this life. He wants us to succeed spiritually. Whenever you have some habitual sin or some addiction to pornography or alcohol or drugs or maybe it's gossip or maybe it's a negative attitude or maybe it's bitterness or something else. And whenever you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you know, I'll never be able to shake this. Trust in Jesus and trust in his power. Remember something. He was healing every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. And he was able to take a man who had been in the tombs, who was naked, who was screaming, who was gashing himself with stones, and the next time we see this man, he is clothed in his right mind and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's exactly what the power of Jesus can do for the souls of men. And we don't need to forget that. Don't give up. Look to Jesus. And then number three, this story teaches us one final point that I think is really important, and that's that Jesus had expectations of Legion. Look at verse 14 with me and notice what it says there. Their herdsmen ran away and reported in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man, and all about the swine, and they began to implore Jesus to leave their region. Can you imagine that? What was the reaction to the healing of this man? The people asked the one who healed him to leave. That was their reaction. You're reading this and you're wondering, did that really happen? Yes, it really happened. They asked him to leave. They heard about what had happened, and instead of rejoicing over this one man who had been freed from demons, who's now in his right mind and who can now live a normal life again, they wanted to know about the pigs. I don't know what it was about those pigs, but I think they liked bacon or something because that's what they were concerned about. I can picture them all running to the scene, to the site, and looking over the cliff, Jesus is healing all of these sicknesses and diseases, and they're focused on the pigs in the water. Please understand that Jesus was not just doing a miracle for the sake of doing a miracle. He was showing his authority on the earth. And that's important. We don't need to miss that. Because that also means that we have to follow his authority today too. In other words, we have to obey him. We should fear the Lord. We should tremble before Him. But that fear has to motivate us to do whatever it is that He tells us to do. You see, at the end of Mark 4, Jesus quiets the storm. You'll remember that story? And the disciples were afraid. Do you remember their reaction? One simple question. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey Him? And they turn their fear into faith. In our Bible class hour, we spend a lot of time talking about the fact that Jesus has a purpose for you. But in this story, what we learn is not only does Jesus have a purpose for you, Jesus has expectations of you as well. We must put away any worldly desire. We must put away sin, and we must serve Him. He doesn't just expect fear. He expects that fear to motivate us to obey. In Legion, when everybody else had lost sight of Jesus, I want you to notice that He did not lose sight. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 18. It says, after He was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring Him that he might accompany Him. If Jesus was going to leave town, guess who wanted to go with Him? It was Legion. I probably would have wanted to get in the boat and go with Jesus too if I were Him. He had just been healed. There are three requests that are made in this story. I don't know if you've noticed this yet. Number one, it's from the demons to be cast into the swine. And Jesus said, yes. Number two, from the people asking Jesus to leave. And be careful what you ask for, you might just get it. Jesus said, yes. And then number three, from Legion, asking, can I come with you? What did Jesus tell him? Look at verse 19. And Jesus did not let him. But He said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you. This time Jesus said no. Instead, you go home, you go to your people, and you report to them. From the demons, when Jesus had, or when the demons had asked to be cast into the swine, what we see, or from this story, what we see here, is that God had an expectation for Legion. Jesus said, "No, go and home and report what to your people what you have seen, what you have witnessed." That's the expectation. And what are you going to report to them? What great things the Lord has done for you? Well, guess what that is? That's His power. And how He had mercy on you. That's His compassion. Look at Mark 5 and verse 20. It says, and He went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for Him. And everyone was amazed. Let me just ask you this morning, have you seen great things from the Lord? Are you here this morning, and have you seen and have you experienced the compassion of Jesus? Have you experienced the power of Jesus in your life? Have you experienced His mercy? Have you experienced His grace? Have you experienced His love? Have you experienced His forgiveness? Have you experienced His blessings? If so, then Jesus wants you to go and to tell that to your people. You see, in this story, we see a Savior who was not repelled by the broken. We see a Lord who is not intimidated by the demons. We see a King who is not satisfied with a miracle. And why is that? It's because it wasn't about the miracle. Jesus wanted a messenger. The question is not, can Jesus free me from my demons or from my sins? The question is, will I trust His power? And will I receive His compassion? And will I live under His authority? And will I do what He expects of me? And will I tell somebody else about Him? Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for your kind attention. You may be here this morning and you're not a child of God. Please understand this. Jesus wants you. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to obey Him, and He expects you to. The Bible says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Can we help you with that this morning? You may be here and you are a child of God. You have done that, but there's something that stands between you and the Lord. We will pray with you and for you that God will forgive you. We know that He will because He promised that He would. If we can help you in any way, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing. Lord, I lay